Number 18 of Genesis chapter 26. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water's ours." And he called the name of the well Essex, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. For he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him in the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake." And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahazaroth, one of his friends, and Pichol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, "Wherefore come ye out to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath between us, betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, and now thou art blessed of the Lord." And he made a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose at bedtimes in the morning and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed him in peace. And it came to pass after the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And he called it Sheba. For therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we need thy help. We need thy power today. Lord, we can do nothing apart from the moving of God. Lord, there's nothing that we could say that would convince or convict men of sin. But Father, thou art able. And unto him who is able, who will do exceedingly and abundantly all that we ever ask or think, to him be glory in the church forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in this service. I thank you, God, for what you will do in the lives of those that are listening. I pray, oh God, that you'd bless and have your precious, precious will use thy servant today. I pray this in the blessed Savior's name, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open there, if you would, please. And while you're getting your places found, I need to grab something. Genesis chapter 26. The Bible says there that in these chapters that we've read, was a man by the name of Abraham. Had years prior, he was a well digger. You know Abraham, he was a friend of God, he was a man of faith. But he also was a well digger. He digged several wells. He dug three wells, and the name of those three wells that he dug was Beer Lorelei, Beersheba, and Rehoboth. Now, these three wells that Abraham dug while he was living were a symbol of God's power and God's presence. The sad thing was that after Abraham died, the Philistines came in, and they didn't like the wells that Abraham dug. So they went over and they started scooping the dirt and throwing it into the wells, and they filled all three of the wells up with dirt. Filled up the wells that Abraham dug. I was thinking about that this morning when I walked downstairs to get that shovel. I was hoping there was one down in the basement, and there was. I forgot to bring mine from home. Mine's a whole lot nearer looking than that one. Amen. Still got the paint on it. Don't say nothing. But I was thinking about, you know, digging a well, that's hard work. I've never done one by hand. I remember as a kid growing up, we had, how many of y'all remember when they not used to drill wells, but they used to punch them? Amen. Brother Larry, some of you do. I remember as a kid, we lived out in the country and the well went dry, and they brought out that well punch, and day after day, you'd hear that thing clunk, clunk, clunk. And I mean, son, it took a while to punch a hole down through before they could hit water. I was just thinking about some of the things. I remember one time hearing those verses we read. You remember one of those verses in there talks about a well of springing water. Boy, I thought about the Lord when I read that. Thank God when he gives you something inside, it's a well of springing water. You know what that it means? An artesian well. How many of you know what an artesian well is? Brother Larry, and several of you do. I remember as a kid, my daddy took me down one time to a friend of his, and we walked out yonder, and I didn't know much about wells, didn't know much about anything. But we walked out there, and he said, I want to show you an artesian well. An artesian well is an underground river. Didn't even have to have a pump. I mean, that water just shooting up out of the ground. And son, you'll never drink that and dry. Amen? I mean, you could put a whole herd of cows in there. You could put a whole herd of sheep in there. You could pump that thing all you wanted to. You'll never run an artesian well dry, because she's a running from underneath the ground, and it's a river of water that's a flowing. Thank God he said there in that Bible that he'd give us a spring of living water. Aren't you glad that there is an untapped resource right here that God has given us? Thank God for that. Amen. Unleashed power. But now notice something here. Abraham, I'm sure it took him a while. I don't know what kind of instruments he had, but they dug it by hand. It was hard work digging a well. And they dug three wells. And after he was dead, after Abraham was dead and gone, the Philistines, the enemy, came in and filled the wells up. They didn't like him. They didn't want that. And then along came his son Isaac. When Isaac came along here, there was a famine that came in the land. I'm going to give you a little background, then we'll preach to you a little while. There was a famine that came in the land, and Isaac finds himself down here in the city of Gerar. Look what the Bible said there in that chapter we've just read. He finds himself in the city of Gerar in the land of the Philistines, in enemy territory. He's down there with the same folk that filled the wells up. And when he's down there, the king is by the name of Abimelech, and during this time though of famine, God begins to bless Isaac tremendously. How many of you folk believe this, that the Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread? How many of you believe that what God said he'll do? Say amen. I mean, son, this economy may look bleak and it may not look good, have enough hours, and you may not have much time, but thank God if you are a child of the living God, he'll not let you suffer. He'll not let you go hungry. Amen. You may not have steak and potatoes, but he'll feed you. He'll clothe you. He'll meet your need. Amen. He blessed old Isaac in the time of famine, even to the point the king came over to him and said, now listen, son, you getting too much stuff down here. We envious. You got to leave. You got to get out of here. He said, thank you. I don't mind leaving. And he packed up and he moved out. Now watch this. When Isaac began to leave, well, they needed some water. Well, so Isaac goes out, and the Bible said that he began to dig a well. The well of Essex. Because the Bible said they strove with him. The second well was a well of Sitnah. And there was problems at that well as well. Now, beloved, here as we get into this message, I want you to see there are four wells that Isaac redug, and here's the title of the message, Redigging the Wells of Our Fathers. Once a year we come in here dressed up like this. You might say, why in the world y'all put on them old-fashioned duds and them old overalls and bonnets and dresses, friend? I want us to always remember, thank God for the old-fashioned way. I'm glad to be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I like the old-fashioned singing. I like old-fashioned praying. I like old-fashioned preaching. I like old-fashioned shouting. I like old-fashioned praising the Lord. Amen. Some things you can't improve on. And here in the Word of God, we find there are four wells, and time permitting, I'll preach on each four of them wells, give you something that'll help you. But I want you to notice something as my way of introduction here, is that Abraham dug these wells, and my friend, that reminds me of our country. It's like the wells that Abraham dug. I mean, I am thankful that we've had some of the greatest preachers and preaching this world has ever known. I mean, back in the revival days, back in the glory days, you might say, in the eternal, we've had great preachers like Charles Finney, Jonathan Edwards, and Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, Bob Jones, Oliver Green, John Rice, Lester Roloff, Lee Robertson, Mace Jackson, Billy Kelly, and America felt the fires of revival. You look at some of them old-fashioned pictures, old-timey pictures, and crowds would come out, and crowds would fill a tent, and folks would get saved, and revival would come to a city, and they'd shut the saloon down, and my friend, true revival came. But my friend, since then the enemy has come, and the enemy hadn't liked what the old-timers did. You know what the enemy has done? They filled up them wells. I mean, listen to me this morning. The enemy has come in and they've thrown dirt in them wells. I'm talking about the wells that our forefathers dug. I'm talking about some old good time godly singing. The enemy has filled them up. I'm talking some good old-fashioned preaching. The enemy has filled them up. I'm talking about old-fashioned saints of God that used to get excited about the things of God. The enemy has come and filled the wells up. It's time we go back and get everybody a shovel and everybody start redigging the wells of our fathers. You really say amen. I mean, son, this country was founded on some good godly principles. This country is founded on the things of God. And would to God today, we as Bible-believing people, we today as folk that stand on this book, we'll rise up and say, I'm tired of the liberal crowd. I'm tired of the modernist crowd. I'm tired of this crowd today that's promoting all forms of sexual immorality. It's time we as God-fearing people rise up and grab a shovel and say, by the grace of the living God, we will redig the wells of our fathers. Amen. I don't want this country to go to hell. My friend, listen, we're headed there. My friend, we're going there so quickly. We're going there so fast. But you know what? If you and I this morning, by the help of the good Lord, if we go out this morning and spiritually minded folk and say, hey, put a shovel in my hand. Let me redig the wells of my fathers. Let's redig the wells that old Mays Jackson used to stand here and preach about. Let's redig the wells of old Lee Robertson and John Rice and John Rawlings and old and on and on and on. Would to God we'd have some folk and say, I'm not letting my country go to hell. I'm going to redig them wells. Will you say amen to that? Amen. Now go back to the Word of God. Here the Bible said that Isaac come along, and Isaac, the Bible said, needed some water. Well, let's notice the wells that Isaac uncovered. First of all, verse number 20. I'll try to make it as brief as possible. And the Bible said there, the first well, the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac. And they said, you see, Isaac went and he redug the well. And they come to him, they said, that water's ours. That water belongs to us. And they strove with him. First well, the well of Essex. You got a pen and paper, write them down. I believe it'll help you. The well of Essex. That word means contention or strife. In verse number 20, it's a place where they contended with the enemy. It's the place of struggle. It is a place for you and I, beloved, that we face every day, day in and day out. Every day that we live, from the day that until we die, until the last moment we breathe our last breath, until the last moment this heart quits beating, until the last moment, until they pronounce us dead, there will be a struggle, there will be a fight, there will be a conflict, there will be the devil and the flesh and the world that'll try to drag you down. But I got news for you, honey. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd cut loose right now and start singing, I'm on the winning side. Though the devil may fight, and though the forces of hell may rage, thank God, listen, he cannot stop a church. He cannot stop a people. He cannot stop an individual that knows the power of prayer. My friend, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees before God, because there is when we find strength. When I am weak, in him I'm made strong. What a blessing. Now listen, that's a well of strife. You know, this Christian life is not a bed of roses. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate. Next Sunday is Veterans Day. Or next week or so is Veterans Day. Thank God. If you're a veteran, raise your hand for a minute. Would you, if you've served in the military, would you raise your hand? I'm serious. You've served in the military. Give these folks just an applause right now. They may not be here next week. Amen. I thank God. Listen. For those that have fought the good fight, those, listen, I've never been in the military. I've never had to be a soldier in the military. But Brother Tom Bowler and I, we were talking, and just this week, and Brother Tom was a Marine in Vietnam, and Brother Brawley, you could probably relate to this, but he said, listen, there were days upon days and weeks upon weeks that I lived in a foxhole and water up to your chest and lived in mud and cold food. He said, I can relate to everything when the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Honey, I got news for you. This life of being a Christian, it's not a bed of roses. It's a fight. It's a struggle. But thank God we are on the winning side. Amen. There is a well called Sitna. You know what? This world hates us. This world does not like us. It despises us. But thank God he'll give us the victory. He's already done that. Number two, notice the second well. Look in verse 21. And so there they digged another well. They redigged the well of Sitna. Sitna, that word confusion. It's the same root word from which we get the word Satan. It is the word of the well of separation. Here the Bible said in verse 21, they digged another well because they strove for that one also, and he called it Sitna, separation. My friend, may I say to you that we today as Bible-believing folk, we need to be separated from the world and from the devil and all forms of evil. Honey, would you agree with me this morning? Is that we as God's people, we need to stay as far as we can from the ways of the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that's in the world. For all that's in the world, he said, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Lord wants a separated, holy living people. You agree with that? Say amen. But you see, my friend, today, we have so many folk today that want to see how close they can get to the world and still name the name of Jesus. They said there years ago, the Queen of England was trying out carriage drivers. And they said, here's your test. They put a man in a carriage. And they said, I want you to go up around the side of the mountain. And I want to see how close you can get that carriage to the edge of that cliff. The first man tried. And he got up there and he got that wheel just on the edge of the side of the cliff to where the rocks were falling off. He came back and they said, you did a good job. The second man got in the chariot or the carriage, and he drove the carriage up the side of the mountain, and he hung two wheels off the side of the mountain, just about balancing that carriage.
He come back and they said, you did a good job. The third man got in the carriage, drove up the side of the mountain. Instead of getting close over to the side, he hung all the way over to the left. He hugged the side of the mountain. When he got back down, they said, sir, I thought you didn't understand. We wanted to see how close you could get to the side of the cliff without over. He said, sir, I regard the queen's life so dearly that I want to stay as close to the mountain as I can. My friend, can I tell you something today? We as God's people, instead of seeing how close we can get to the world, we ought to see how close we can get to God. Amen. Instead of seeing how close we can do what we ought not to do, we ought to say, oh God, help us to stay close to you. Close in reading the word. Close in Bible study. Close in attending the house of God, close in giving our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And that, my friend, is true victory when we get close to the Lord. Our forefathers preached against sin. The average Christian today fills their mind with the things of the world, and they become so cold and out of fellowship with God they don't even realize it. Our average folk today, the average Christian today, has become so worldly, and the church has become so worldly, and the world has become so churchy, it's hard to tell the difference between the two. But would to God we'd get back to some old-fashioned standards again. Would to God we'd get back to some old-fashioned beliefs again. That holiness unto the Lord. And God wants a holy living people. And God wants a separated people. And God wants a people that He said, come me out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Old-timers used to preach on sin. How many of y'all remember them old-fashioned preachers, son? They didn't care. They shook the corn up one side and down the other. They preached hell hot and heaven sweet. Say amen. I read about some on Billy Sunday. He hated liquor with a passion. One service he was escorted out by the police. Jonathan Edwards was voted out of his first church because he preached on dancing. John Wesley, he's still indicted in the state of Georgia for slapping a communion glass out of a lady's hand because she was crooked. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, what about that? God hates sin. Remember, sin caused the nails in Jesus' hand. Sin caused the spikes in his feet. Sin drove the crown of thorns on his head. Sin caused the spitting and the mocking. Sin caused the beating and the scourging. Sin caused him to bear his cross to Calvary. Sin ripped the flesh as he hung on the cross. I'll tell you how much you love God is when you tell me how much you hate sin. We need to redig the well of our fathers and hate sin like they hated sin. Number three, real quickly this morning, notice the third well. Look in verse 22, the well of Rehoboth. Rehoboth means, I like this, amen. I like this one, wide spaces. Hallelujah, I like that. Amen. I had to go get blood. Well, I didn't give it. They took it other morning. I walked in, and they finally wised up in them hospitals and blood-drawing places. I mean, son, they had a chair half as wide as that table right there. And it was purple. I said, glory. I mean, you can find a good seat on that thing. Amen. I mean, you little skinny folks, you don't have nothing to worry about. Have you ever gone in a place you know you look, I can't fit in that one. I'll go. Amen. I like this because it's wide spaces. Amen. Room. Amen. Watch this. And the Bible said the third thing, or the third well, was Rehoboth, the well of room. The Lord has made room for us. They didn't have any room for him when he came in this world. But I'm glad, thank God, he made room for me. We sing that little chorus, there's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. Though millions have come, no room for one. There's room at the cross for me. You know what this well speaks of? It speaks of soul winning, about folks getting saved. You know what it used to be? I've never seen this, but I've read about it. I read one time where when people got saved, In a church, you know what they do? Somebody gets saved, they'd bring a chair out and they'd set that chair down, and that saved person, they put them in that chair, and all of a sudden the rest of the crowd, everybody else would just Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Sinners come home and they rejoice. I got news for you. When one sinner comes to the Lord, the Bible said they're rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. I'm glad that when a sinner gets saved, heaven rejoices. Don't you think we ought to rejoice? Oh, the devil's got most folks so preoccupied with other things, we don't rejoice when somebody gets saved. I like what Brother Keith told me about a week ago. And if he, I don't think you'll mind me sharing it with you. He said for 13, I believe he said 13 years, 14, 14 years. He said, I worked so hard to try to be a better mechanic, a better employee. He said, now I realize I need to work hard to be a better Christian. Amen. Do you realize this morning why God has you where he's got you? Talk to me. You know why God's got Rodney at Timken Barrens? So he can be a witness. You know why God's got you where you got at? You know why he's got Richard over yonder to energize a bunny plant? It's so that he can be a witness. Amen? You know why he's got Jonathan down yonder at that financial management place? So he can be a witness. Hey, God's got you where he's got you so you can be a witness to tell others about Jesus. You know that's why he's got you where you got you, Gail? You can tell other people about Jesus. You go down yonder to the prisons, you tell them about Jesus. My friend, let me tell you something, is that we ought to redig the wells. The enemy has come in and he's filled up the wells. He said, hey, you got this to do tonight. You got that to do tonight. You can't go to visitation. You can't go to church. You got to work. You got to do this. You got a ball game to go to. And the enemy has filled the wells in. Would to God we would get back and say, bless God, by the help of the Almighty, I will tell somebody about Jesus. They're waiting on you. Last of all this morning, look at verse 33. Give me about 5 minutes. By the way, we got dinner for you today, so you don't have to run off. Look at verse 33. I like this one. And God say, boy, I tell you what. Have you ever noticed that God always saves the best for last? I preached one time on that, saving the best for last. I like that little sign. It says, eat dessert first. Life is short. Amen. May not make it to the end. Verse 33. And he called the last well Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city today is called Beersheba. It's the well of a sevenfold blessing of God. Now, I know some of you, I just lost you. You're saying, oh, Lord, he's going to preach seven more things. I'm going to give them to you. If I had a wish for you, if I could rub a little lamp and say, if I could wish anything for you, I'd wish you'd come drink at this well. I wish you'd come this morning and you'd say, oh, my cup is empty. Lord, I want to drink from that well of Sheba, a well of blessing. How many of you really, by saying amen, you want God to bless your life, say amen. Amen. You want God's favor. You know what? I've learned something. There's one thing called blessings. There's another thing called the favor of God. You know why? Listen to me. God will shine his favor upon certain folk. You know why? He said, I'll pour water upon him that's thirsty. I'll pour floods on the dry ground. This morning, my friend, God will bless you. God will bless you. God will meet your need. But God will open up the windows of heaven and thank God he'll pour you out a blessing. You cannot even contain it. Watch it here. They're blessings of Sheba. Watch this, verse 24. I'll give them to you. Verse 24. First of all, he said, don't fear. Look at verse 24. He said, the first thing, he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Miss Jane came in this morning singing that little chorus that we've been singing. Only believe, only believe all things are possible. Only believe. Fear not. I would challenge you this morning, go through the Word of God and find that phrase, fear not. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't fear about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't fear about your job. Don't fear about your health. Fear not. I'm with you.
The blessings of this last will is God's presence in your life continually. I'm glad, thank God, He's with me always, even unto the end. Verse 24 also, He said, I'm going to multiply you. He said, I'm going to give you your years of increase. You won't lack for anything. You'll have all things in abundance. Boy, wouldn't that be something? I mean, listen. You see, here's what happened. Back up just a second. This crowd that hated Isaac, Abimelech, this crowd, they come down yonder. And they said, now, wait a minute. We see you still getting blessed. Isaac said, wait a minute. I've done left you. You didn't want me around. And you followed after me. And they said, wait just a second. He said, now, we've noticed that God's been a blessing you. And we just want a little bit of that. Listen, number three. Look at verse 26. Your enemy will be afraid of you. Thank God the devil you won't have to run from him. He'll run from you. Verse 32. Look in verse 32. Every time you dig, you'll find water. Every time you dig, you'll get water. Thank God the saints of the Lord, they don't live a hit and miss life. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. They draw near to God, and God will draw near to him. But then here's what I want you to see, verse 33, and I'm done. Look at verse 33. And his servants came running back to him. They said, Isaac, we've dug and we found water. In verse 33, and they called it Sheba, for the name of the city today is Beersheba. Your well will become a whole city. It's a place of Isaac's well. When you walk in God's favor, people will come to you. You know what? This world out there for the genuine thing. I don't know about you. I'll say this in all sincerity. But I hate going out and trying to buy something today, because everything you buy, y'all fill in the blank, is made in China. I mean, listen. I had a Craftsman vice grips made in the good old US of A, but it got rusty and all everything. I took it into the store, and I'm not plugging Craftsman tools, but I took it in and I said, I understand y'all will give me a new one. Oh, yes, sir, just go pick you one off the shelf. So I got a brand new one right off the shelf, and I put it in a bag, and I got back and I opened it up, and here I opened the other side and it said made in China. And I said, oh, I know what that means. It'll last about a half a dozen times, and then you'll have to go get another one. Say amen. But have you ever noticed that when there's the real thing out yonder, people just gravitate to it? I mean, and here, that well, the last well, the well of Beersheba, they built a whole city around it. Oh, listen. If there's one thing that I'd ask God for, and I want you to ask God for, Lord, make me a well of blessing. Lord, make my life a blessing that I could help somebody else, and that folk would gravitate to me because they see the Lord Jesus and they see something real. And when folk come into this place and come in here to Harmony Baptist Church, they'll gravitate here because they know that the presence and the power of God is here, and they can get some help by coming to the well of blessing. Isn't that what you want? Well, I'll tell you what we need. We need to put a shovel in your hand this morning. The enemy, he's come in when you wasn't looking. The enemy has come in and he's filled your well up. He's thrown dirt in on top of it. He's stomped it down. But thank God you can get that old shovel of grace and you can go down yonder, unleash the well again, and the water will flow again, and the blessings will flow again. What you need is a shovel. Not this one here, but a spiritual one.